Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Q2 and H1 FY24 earnings conference call of IndoStar Capital Finance Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand over to Mr. Nikunj Jain from Orient Capital. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Ashia. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I welcome you for the Q2 and H1 FY24 earnings conference call of IndoStar Capital Finance Limited. To discuss this quarter's business performance, we have from the management Mr. Karthikeyan Srinivasan, CEO, Mr. Vinod Kumar Panikar, CFO, and Mr. Srijit Menon, CEO, IndoStar Home Finance Private Limited. Before we proceed with this call, I would like to mention that some of the statements made in today's call may be forward-looking in nature and may involve risk and uncertainty. For more details, kindly refer to the investor presentation and other filings that can be found on the company's website. Without further ado, I would like to hand over the call to management for their opening comments, and then we will open the floor for Q&A. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I, Karthikeyan Srinivasan, would like to extend a warm welcome to all of you attending our Q2 and H1 FY24 earnings conference call to discuss the financial performance. I wish to express my heartfelt gratitude to all those who dedicated their time to join the call and have consistently been part of our journey. Joining me today are Mr. Vinod Panikar, our Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. Srijit Menon, the Chief Executive Officer of IndoStar Home Finance Private Limited. The performance of our company is closely intertwined with the Indian economy's performance as we focus mainly on the commercial vehicles. The Indian economy grew at 7.6% in FY23, exceeding government's projections. India was one of the fastest-growing economies in the world, and this performance underscored the country's resilience compared to the general slowdown in Europe and other parts of the world. The GDP growth outlook for 2024 is currently expected to be more than 6%. With a decent monsoon, well-contained inflation, increasing consumption would likely boost the private CapEx. The manufacturing sector is also experiencing robust expansion, with the IIP reaching a 14-month high of 10.3% in August. Despite the global geopolitical uncertainty, the economy seems to be resilient and showing signs of gaining momentum. Consumer demand is on the rise and is expected to strengthen further during the upcoming festival season. In June, retail inflation surged to 7.4% and has corrected to 5% in the month of September. In the commercial vehicle industry, the industry is poised to grow in a very robust manner due to the continuing robust industrial activity with the GDP growth. The commercial vehicle business is seeing heightened activity with freight and passenger movement seeing significant growth. The GST collections at greater than 10%, FASTag collections greater than 20%, and stable fuel prices since July 2022 indicate a very good year for the commercial vehicle business. Turning our attention to the used commercial vehicle industry, the demand has remained robust, primarily driven by the transition from BS4 to BS6, which resulted in a price differential of around 25%-30%. Over the past 2 years, there has been an increase in the price of the used commercial vehicles, and this trend is expected to continue in the coming year. However, it is unlikely that the average ticket size of the financing used commercial vehicles will see a substantial growth in the short term. The company is expanding its operations with specific focus on the used commercial vehicle sector, where we concentrate on the more profitable used commercial vehicle segments, particularly in the Tier 3 and Tier 4 towns. Additionally, the company is harnessing technology-enabled systems to enhance compliance with process, increase the collection efficiency, improve our credit underwriting, and boost the sales productivity. We can anticipate the robust growth in the used commercial vehicle industry in 2025. The demand for used CVs remains strong because they can transport the same volume of goods at a lower per-ton cost and experience reduced downtime. Further, the useful life of the CVs have extended following NBFC financing vehicles up to a vintage of up to 12 years. The maintenance cost of these vehicles have also decreased thanks to better engineered components in BS4 vehicles. The connection with fleet operators has gradually decreased over the past four or five years. In summary, the demand for used CV remains strong, driven by first-time users and first-time buyers. I am delighted to share that our company has been experiencing steady growth, and it is picking up pace quarter on quarter. This has been seen in our disbursement growth during the quarter, which stood at around 1,269 crores, growing 13% sequentially. During the quarter, the company took a decisive step forward in its stated retailization strategy by selling a significant portion of its legacy corporate book to Phoenix ARC. The sale consists of certain accounts that were tagged Stage 2, aggregating to dues outstanding of rupees 915 crores. This arrangement will enable us further to increase our focus on building the core retail lending business. Post the transaction, the share of the retail lending book in the company's asset under management has increased from 85% to 95%. Our ability to collect payments has been exceptionally strong, underscoring the resilience of our business model and the trust our customers have in us. Our previous guidance remains unaltered, and we have confidence in our capacity to meet our objectives. We are actively exploring fresh projects, products, and strategies to generate additional income and enhance returns. Diversifying our product range will enable us to maintain a competitive edge in the market and provide consistent value to stakeholders. In conclusion, I'd like to express my appreciation for your ongoing support. We are committed to sustaining our focus on growth, the quality of our portfolio, and operational efficiency. With a strong financial foundation, a healthy liquidity position, and strategic initiatives in place, we are well positioned for a prosperous and profitable future. With that, I'll now pass the call on to Mr. Vinod Panikar to present his financial performance.
Thank you, Karthikeyan, and good afternoon to all of you. I sincerely appreciate your presence on this conference call today, and I appreciate the fact that most of you have been with us over the last several quarters. Please allow me to provide you with an overview of our financial performance for Q2 and H1 of FY 2024. Our consolidated net interest income reached a figure of 148.1 crore, showing a 2% increase quarter-on-quarter. This is in spite of the selling of our corporate loan book of 915 crores to an ARC, as Karthikeyan just mentioned a couple of minutes back, which reduced our interest income by about 29 crores. Our net interest margin for the same period expanded by about 20 basis points to reach 6.7%. We are pleased to report that our yields have significantly improved, and we are focusing on Tier 3 and Tier 4 markets. Notably, 95% of our CV disbursement is in the used CV space, which permits us to get better yields. Turning to the operating expenses, we recorded a total cost of about 119 crores in the second quarter, representing a 3% increase over the immediately preceding quarter, which is mainly on account of increase in manpower cost, which is essentially needed to sustain growth. Also, there was a one-time cost of 3 crores, which was in relation to the ARC sale. Our profit after tax for Q2 FY 24 stood at 25 lakhs as
25
crores as compared to the PAT of 39 crores in the immediately preceding quarter, largely on account of the drop in the corporate loan book income, as mentioned above. We achieved a total collection of 963 crores during the quarter, as against 1,040 crores in the immediately preceding quarter. Our gross collection efficiency reached a figure of 135% in the current quarter, showcasing our commitment to maintaining high credit standards and operational efficiency. The EMI to EMI collection for the CV business was at 90%, and In the HFC business, it was as high as 96%, and EMI plus overdue collection for the CV was at 97%. For HFC, it was something more than 99%. Our focus on portfolio quality has ensured that there is only a marginal increase in the Stage 3 assets, which was at about 6.7% at the end of Q2 FY 2024 versus the 6.6% in the immediately preceding quarter. Even this increase is on account of the reduction in the AUM due to the sale of the corporate lending book, which was close to 915 crores. Furthermore, our consolidated net Stage 3 asset was at about 3.3%, demonstrating an effective credit risk management strategy that the company has in place. In terms of funding, we made progress in improving our liquidity position by raising incremental funding of about 970 crores in the second quarter. As on 30th of September, we maintained a cash and cash equivalent of about 372 crores, and our capital adequacy stood at about 32.8%, and debt equity at about 1.8 times, both of which gives ample idea to anyone who looks at the numbers that there is ample headroom for further growth and for further borrowing, which will lead to further growth. We are confident that this will help drive profitable growth in the coming quarters and years. Our asset under management of 7,726 crores as compared to 8,062 crores in the immediately preceding quarter was mainly, as I had said earlier, because on account of the corporate loan book that was sold. But then the intention, like Karthik had mentioned, was to show our focus on retailization, which actually meant that we needed to sell off the corporate book. The increased disbursement of 1,269 crores in the current quarter was up versus the 1,116 crores in the immediately preceding quarter, and that can be attributed to the strong focus on the retail segment. Retailization efforts continue to yield favorable results, and we are confident in sustaining profitable growth in the coming quarters. For the first half of the year, we have done a total disbursement of about 2,385 crores, as against our committed figure of about 5,500 consolidated disbursement for the entire year. In the vehicle finance business, our AUM as at 30th September stood at 4,383 crores, showing a 12% increase over the immediately preceding quarter. And the housing finance AUM at 1,894 crores showed a 9% increase over the immediately preceding quarter. As mentioned previously, our emphasis continues to be on growing the used CV book and the housing finance segment book. And we are experiencing significant growth in the AUM, which we expect to continue. Now, I would like to invite my colleague, Srijit Menon, to provide further and more detailed insight on the housing finance business, which is another key focus area for us. Over to you, Srijit.
Thank you, Vinod. Good afternoon, everyone. I hope you're all doing well. Let me start by presenting an overview of Indostar Home Finance progress in the affordable housing finance segment. We focus primarily on Tier 2 and Tier 3 markets with a deep presence in southern and western part of India. We continued with our strategy of focusing on small towns and semi-urban geographies, which not only helped us to maintain the average ticket size under 1 million, but also benefited us with very high originating yields. These geographies helped us to build on to a targeted segment of self-construction along with an opportunity to originate high-quality micro-LAP. We continue to maintain superior asset quality, which can be seen from our gross Stage 3 assets level of 1.25%. This is after recognizing the ONAN norms which came into play from 1st of October last year. Even with rising interest cost scenario, we are able to maintain the spreads in the range of 5%-5.5% consistently with the right mix of home loan and LAP origination. With a strong foundation in terms of distribution, risk and underwriting, technology and people, we are on the right path to achieve the desired growth. In Q2 FY24, we have disbursed loans worth 221 crores at an average yield of 15.8% as compared to 190 crores disbursed in Q1 FY24 at similar yields. If I compare the half-year disbursement performance, we disbursed rupees 411 crores in H1 FY24 as against 197 crores in H1 FY23. Hence, we've almost doubled our disbursements from a similar period of last year. Our customer profile composition remains the same with a 50/50 proportion between salaried and self-employed profiles. Our AUM stood at 1,894 crores as against 1,623 crores in March 2023, marking a growth of 17% for the H1 period. Our headcount as on September 23rd stood at 1,053, and we have 140 branches pan-India as of date. On the liability side, we raised 423 crores during H1 FY24 across different channels such as term loans, NCDs, PTCs, and direct assignment. Maintaining adequate liquidity has always been our priority, and we've built a robust pipeline of funding to support business growth. In this quarter, we assigned LAP-only assets as a part of strategy, which allowed us to originate more LAP as well as to maintain a healthy share of home loan assets as part of the loan book. After launching a series of technology initiatives, which I talked about in the last call in Q1 FY24, such as the sales, the collection, and the customer app, we continue to progress well on the automation journey with our personal discussion app going live this quarter. With almost 100% adoption rate of the sales and the personal discussion app, we are confident of achieving our objective of a paperless loan journey, which is a significant step towards a sustainable way of improving productivity and enhancing customer experience. Now, let's take a look at our financial performance. In terms of financial results, we recorded a net total income of 91 crores for H1 FY24, representing an encouraging 12% increase year-on-year basis. Our profit after tax stood at INR 22 crores for H1 FY24, indicating positive momentum in our operations. As mentioned by me earlier, managing asset quality has always been our top priority, and we've been able to successfully maintain a gross Stage 3 rate at 1.25% as of September 23rd. Net Stage 3 assets stood at 0.96%, so we continue to be under 1% on our net Stage 3 assets. I'm also happy to share that our 30+ DPD numbers stood at 2.67%, and our 1+ numbers stood at 4.3%. In fact, our 1+ numbers have trended downwards from March 2023. Our capital adequacy ratio currently stands at 70.8%, underlining our ability to support business growth while ensuring ample capital reserves. In conclusion, IndoStar Home Finance is well poised for a bright future. Our commitment to making housing affordable to the lowest rung of the Indian demography remains unwavering. We will continue to invest in technology, expand our reach in the chosen geographies, and maintain a strong financial position to serve our customers better. We are excited about the progress we intend to make, and we appreciate your continued support. Thank you for your attention. I now hand over to the moderator to open the floor for Q&A.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touch-tone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Mr. Vivek Ramakrishnan from DSP Mutual Fund. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. Sir, my questions are on slide 36 and 16 of your presentation, reconciling the various bits. We see that 90 DPD is increasing, even as 30 DPD is actually coming down nice and sharply. So my questions are, how many of those 90 DPD customers are currently paying at least one installment and keeping their account current? And the second thing is, or are you going to repossess the trucks and sell them if that is the case? And then reconciling that with the collection efficiency number, we see that it's, you know, you indicated more than 100% on a cumulative basis. When will that bring the GNPA down, especially in the commercial vehicle, the non-housing business down significantly? And just one additional question, if I can ask, is on the ARC sale, which you said about 915 crores, is it in the form of security receipts or have you sold it for cash? Thank you.
I'll start one by one. See, my 90 plus increases because I have a tie-up with ICCI where which is a sourcing and servicing arrangement. Post 60 DPD, I'm obligated to buy the loan from ICCI. So it directly comes into my book as 90 plus, where the customer keeps paying one EMI, but because of the ONAN criteria, I'm not able to roll it back to less than 0 DPD. That's why it remains in stage 3. Most of these cases, typically what happens is these guys pay for some months and then try to switch it to some other financial and go away. Or the extreme case, I repossess the vehicle and realize the value. That's why the 90 plus always goes up. My 30 plus is better because when I buy back from ICCI, it directly comes into my book as 90 plus. That's the answer for that. Overall, in the commercial vehicle segment, we are seeing quarter on quarter reduction without assuming the ICCI numbers. Probably we can send it across to you separately as to how the book is behaving without ICCI so that you can get a fair picture. We feel like in the next two quarters, we'll be seeing significant reduction in the overall non-housing stage 3. Two things are happening. One is on the CV space, the overall market is doing well. So month on month, I'm able to see reduction. On the SME portion of it, we have tightened our legal aspects of it. We have a lot of cases where we have realized, possession of the asset or where we have been able to move significant process in the legal, that will create a good impact in reducing my overall stage 3 percentage by March. On the corporate portion of it, it is an SRD. 8515 is the SR. We realized 103 crore as cash and the balance as SR.
Sir, so thank you very much and wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you, Vivek.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask questions may press star and one on the touchtone phone. The next question is from the line of Mr. Hitesh Arora from Unify Capital. Please go ahead,
I had a couple of questions. If you could enlighten us on the funding arrangement with banks, how are we looking there? Our interest costs seem to have gone up this quarter. If you could kindly enlighten us, how are we both on the standalone side as well as in the home loan side?
Thanks, Hitesh. Vinod here. I will speak about the standalone first. And then on the home finance, I will request Srijit to touch upon the details. On the bank funding, we are actually in the process of, in fact, we started speaking to the bank only towards end of May or early June, which is what we have said in the last call also. And banks have started coming back to us and they are very positive about the whole thing. When we actually got our first sanction of a term loan after about 18 months from a bank. And we are expecting many more to come along the way in this quarter. In fact, in the third quarter, some to come, and many more to come in the next quarter. That will see a reduction in the cost. You specifically harped upon the increased cost. The increased cost is on account of the NCDs that we had done, which including the other cost was slightly on a higher side. But we are seeing that the bank funding that we would end up getting now would bring down our cost. But we feel that seeing some, I would say, benefit or some significant benefit on the cost could be, I would say, a couple of quarters saving.
And how much is this term loan that we sanctioned? What is the quantum of that?
It's 100 crores to begin with.
And this is a PSU? This is a PSU?
No, it's a private sector bank.
It's a private sector bank. So the PSU banks have not been welcoming enough?
We are expecting.
There are about two, three of them in the pipeline, which should possibly fructify in the current quarter.
Okay, sure. And I just come on the home. Maybe if you could enlighten us on the housing finance business as well, how's the funding there?
Yeah, so as I mentioned, we raised about 423 crores in the first half of this year, and it was a combination of term loans where we got support both from a PSU as well as a couple of private banks. In fact, existing bankers to us topped up their loans. And we also had a couple of direct assignment transactions. As I mentioned in my opening note, we looked at selling out our LAP pools, which got a lot of interest from the market. And we also did a PTC transaction, which works very well on our ALM strategy.
The bank funding of this 423 crore would be how much?
So we had about 200 odd crores that would came in from banks. Yeah, Bob.
130 crores is the bank funding.
Sorry, 130 is the number.
130 crores, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's a mix of PSU and private bank?
That's right, that's right.
Okay. And just if I could ask you on the status of this, we were talking with JM earlier, and then there's talks on spin-off. What is the status of that? Is the DD done? We move to the next stage, etc.
Yes. So, thanks for inquiring on this potential merger. As you know, the DD is done. The negotiations are ongoing. There are several critical aspects of the transaction which we are evaluating right now. And at this stage, there is nothing to report. If there is something that is to be reported publicly, we'll come back to you on that.
And any sense on hope, assuming it goes through, etc., in your desired format, what would be the expected timeline?
Difficult to give a timeline at this stage.
Time will tell, actually. I think we'll need to wait patiently.
Fair enough. Sure. And one more question if I could ask, was on the SME business. I know we've wound down some part of the book there. How's it looking? What's the strategy? And if you could also tell on the gross and the net stage and the provisions there, and how much is in stage two as well?
Yeah, one by one. SME, as our stated position is, we'll wind it down. We are working very vigorously to reduce the stage three. If you look at it, our stage three has come down significantly quarter on quarter from 191 crores in June to 163 crores is what is the downward movement in SME. In stage two, it is around 162 crores, but the book is adequately provided. We have a provisioning of almost 30% in the book. We don't expect any significant deterioration in this because we expect a lot of release. Whatever we are settling at much beyond the provision value which we are carrying. So we don't see any major stress there. We are working on with the legal so that we can reduce the overall SME stage. That's the strategy on SME.
On an overall basis, also SME has come down by more than 100 crores in the quarter.
Yeah, no, that I saw. It's just so this 30% provision is on the stage three.
Correct.
Okay. No, fine. I'll come back. Sorry. Hello?
Yeah.
Sorry, I think you're saying something in this.
No, I said actually it is 37.
Okay. Thanks. I'll come back in the queue.
Yeah. Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Mr. Guneet Singh from CCIPL. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, sir. Thank you for this opportunity. So we have been seeing a rapid growth in the economy since the last couple of years, and most of the NBFCs are growing in tune with that or faster than that. But our revenues have been stagnant since FY19. So what is the reason for that, and when will we be able to cross the 1600 CR revenues that we saw in FY2020?
Guneet, Vinod here. After FY19, we had seen the onslaught of COVID, and that actually had an issue. And then make the issues worse, there was this issue that we had come across in FY22, basis which we had to take a huge provisioning and a lot of write-off. That had an impact on the income that was getting generated. And to correct the thing, correct the processes, to correct the way we do our business, we had to actually step back for a couple of quarters or maybe about 8 months in the last financial year to ensure that we set things right before we actually take a leap and look at volumes and look at disbursements. That is what we did. And the third quarter of last year, we are seeing growth. We did about 343 crores in the third quarter. We did about 656 crores in the fourth quarter, 757 crores, and about 1,000 plus in this quarter. So the income from all these are going to come now. And then now that all the issues that were there have been identified, have been cleaned up, we see only the income going up. In the current quarter also, the revenue did see a drop versus the immediately preceding quarter. In fact, I had pointed it out in my opening comments that there was a drop of 29 crores on the sale of the ARC book. And like Karthik mentioned, that's a legacy book, and we are now possibly we have come to the end of all the legacy issues. So there is nothing else now left for us. And the only way we see things going forward is there will be growth in revenues, growth in profitability, and growth in the overall book.
Sir, all the issues that were in the past, have all of them been solved, or some of them are still remaining?
They were sorted out in the last year itself, and that is why we, post that only, we started, disbursing all over again.
See, the SME stage 3 is the only thing that needs to get resolved. The balance are under control.
And by when will this be resolved?
In our assessment, by March, we'll be able to find a solution for it.
All right. So, I mean, in terms of guidance, I mean, what kind of numbers should we look at for FY24 in terms of top line and bottom line? And for FY25, I mean, what kind of growth do we see?
We had said that we would do a disbursement on an overall basis of about 5,500 crores in the current year and about 7,500 crores in the next year. That's what we had said. Basis which we would look at an ROA of about 1% in the current year and look at a ROA of about 2% in the coming year, in FY25.
All right, that is great. And if you have the numbers for FY23, just to compare.
FY23 had seen a lot of reversals, basis which I would say the ROA, and maybe in the fourth quarter there was a huge reversal of about 50 crores in relation to ESOPs, which saw an ROA of about 1.25%, but then that was on account of certain reversals which had happened.
And how much were the loan disbursals in FY23?
1,600 crores roughly.
Roughly about 1,600 crores. Exact figure was about 1,687 for the standalone, and on an overall basis,
2,000 crores. 2099 for the consolidated.
All right. So just to get an idea, whether 5,000 crore loan dispersal, what kind of, I mean, top line and bottom line should we be looking at?
if it's a 5,000 crore, I would say that I would possibly talk about the ROA part. Maybe we can separately, maybe have a separate call to discuss the what is our expectation in terms of top line and bottom line, because we didn't want to get into that kind of detailing right now, if that is possible.
All right. That's all from my side. Thank you and all the best.
Thanks, Vinay. Thanks for being on the call.
The next question is from the line of Mr. Khush from Nippon India Mutual Fund. Please go ahead, sir.
Sir, with regard to the sale to ARC, can you specify the two accounts which you have sold and what was the aggregate value of those two accounts in your books?
I don't know if I can mention the names. We will keep it offline, Khush. But these are two large real estate accounts of Bombay.
Sure.
Which were around 915 crore. So we'll keep the names separate. We'll not go into a recorded transaction with that.
Sure. Okay. No problem. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mr. Rishikesh Oza from RoboCapital. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi. Thank you for the opportunity. So I missed the disbursement target for the year. You said 5,000 crore approximately?
5,500 crore.
Okay. And what would that be for FY 2025?
7.5 crore.
7.5?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Also, sir, if you could touch upon the operating expense, how do you see the operating expense for FY 2024 H2 and for FY 2025?
FY 2024, the OpEx as a percentage of AUM would be in the 4.5% kind of range, and which should go down to about 3.5%-3.6% in the next year. That is where we are expecting the cost to be. We are currently in the process of recruiting manpower. In fact, I did mention it in my opening remarks, saying that we are looking at growing the so and housing finance by themselves, they are looking at increasing their offices, number of offices. So all this will see some bit of increased cost in the current year, which is why we are talking about this 4.5%. Next year, we should possibly have all this happening, but then the numbers would definitely reduce. The increase would definitely reduce.
Okay. Okay. And, sir, if you could also indicate on credit cost, how do you see them for FY 2024 H2 and, for next year, FY 2025?
We are expecting a maximum credit cost of about 1.25% in the current year. And next year, we would be in the same range, maybe in the 1.25%-1.5%.
Okay. And how do you see the normalized credit cost to be going ahead?
The segment we are in, we expect it to be around 1.25%-1.5% going forward also. Because we have mentioned the reasons why we are in the used CV space, and we see the industry being robust in that segment. Because with the scrappage policy likely to come in, with the overall operating efficiency at the used level being much higher, we feel like that will be the cost we'll be able to manage.
Okay. Okay. And just last question. The SME book that we are going to run down, are we going to run it down in this year itself?
See, the Stage 3 book only will get run down this year. The overall book is much large. It's around 800 crore. Without the Stage 3, it's around 700 crore. It'll take some more years to run down, because all these are long-term loans with an average tenure of around 15-18 years. And today, with the rates going up, the BT market is not that open in the market, so it'll take some more years to be. But those are all Stage 1 books, so or Stage 2 books, we are not that much worried.
Okay, got it. Got it. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Rishikesh.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mr. Sagar Shah from Piper Serica Advisors Private Limited. Please go ahead, sir.
First of all, thank you for the opportunity. Good afternoon, gentlemen. Good afternoon, management. Now, my first question was related to our actually long-term vision. Means I can clearly see that you are turning the company around. You are actually de-risking your portfolio. You are actually cleaning up your portfolio. So first of all, since I'm new to the company, I wanted to understand your thought process when we look at your company in the next for the next 3 years. So first of all, I can see you are targeting the CV segment, and right now the CV cycle is strong, the business momentum is strong. So first of all, I would like to understand the long-term vision, sir, in the, for the next 3 years, and then follow up with my business question. Thank you.
Yeah, our focus is on improving the economy EWS segment. So our focus will be on the used commercial vehicle and on the affordable housing space. That's how we want to be focused on. On the used commercial vehicle segment, as Mr. Vinod mentioned some time back, we want to grow the book. We want to disburse around 4,000 crores this year, 4,400 crores this year, 6,000 crore next year, and 7,500 crore the next year after that.
4,400 crores is in the
current year.
Is in the CV segment. On an overall basis, 5,500 crores. 6,000 crores is for the CV segment in the current, in the next year, and totally 7,500 crores. Mm-hmm. And that and currently the focus that the company has is the these two segments. Karthikeyan, during his call, the initial comments, he had mentioned that we are looking at new products which would possibly complement the existing bouquet of products that we have. So those are things that would come onto the drawing board. In fact, we are already looking at them. Some of them would possibly come towards the end of this year or early part of next year. So those will be an additional, I would say, disbursement. We'll have an additional disbursement target and would actually grow the book even further.
Okay, okay. Sure, sir. I got your point on that. So basically, I'm now coming on to your business question on your funding mix. Actually, I can see your overall funding mix is you have raised around, you just said that around 400 crores from for the housing business, actually, for the housing subsidiary. And your in your funding mix, your banks is considered around 22%. And for the next 3 years, how should we at least assume that the funding mix from the funding from the banks should constitute at least 50%? Or what's your overall target basically on your funding mix?
For any NBFC, that would be an ideal target. See, we our banking asset mix, banking contribution is currently lower because I think I said in one of my earlier responses that we started approaching the banks only after our Q4 results of last year. That was only in early June that we started meeting the banks. So that is the reason why it is taking took some time for us to get the sanction. And we believe that some of the sanctions would come in the current quarter, a lot more will come in the next quarter. And over a period of time, I would say over the next 2 to 3 quarters or 3 to 4 quarters, we would see that 50-50 kind of mix. Otherwise, we have been getting our funding mainly in this last 9 months. A lot of it has come through NCDs for the standalone company. And in case of housing finance, it has been a mix of securitization plus the bank.
Okay, sure, sir. Now my last question, sir, related to was on slide number 36, actually. I can see your delinquency levels are decreasing, but your bounce rates are increasing, actually. Right from June 22 till almost September 23, your almost bounce rates are going by almost every almost 100 basis points every quarter. Right now the bounce rates are 14.3. So what are the reasons for such a mismatch actually between the 30 plus DPD and 90 plus DPD and our bounce rate? Is because in your slide you have clearly highlighted about your model, actually about your analytics model, how you basically manage your risk using this model. So this is a, I'm not saying still it's a worrying thing, but to what increasing 100 basis points bounce rates every quarter might be alarming in the future. That's why.
So you're right about the observation in terms of the bounce rate for the HFC having gone up by from 12% in December 22 to about 14.3%. We look at two aspects. One is we look at the current bucket bounce. And as you know, as the number of delinquent customers go up, at an overall level, you will find those customers will bounce. And then we approach for repayment. But when we look at our current bucket bounce rates, you know, the current bucket bounce rates are still in the 9 to 10% range, which is what we target. And that is why you see, because there are very minimal flow forwards from the X bucket, which is why you see that our 1 plus numbers have actually gone down. That's one reason which gives us comfort even though there is a slight uptick. As you know, in the last year and a half, we've been also increasing our LAP part of the business, which today is about 30% of our origination. Typically in LAP, you'll see a slightly higher bounce rate, although repayments do come in after the customer bounces. So it's a combination of that. It's a combination of the seasoning of the book, a combination of a slight increase in the LAP part of the business. We've also gone into tier 3, tier 4, where the banking habits are still, you know, getting developed. But we are not worried because if you, as you rightly pointed out, you see the 1 plus numbers and the 30 plus and the 90 plus numbers, they are well in control.
Okay, so basically the reason that you're highlighting is acquiring new customers basically. And for that reason, your bounce rates for the initial level are going up, but they're actually there. You can say maybe they're stabilizing once it once the customer has a journey with IndoStar. Is my understanding correct?
So as the vintage goes up, you'll find some of the bounces on the vintage pool going up. That's point number one. Second is by virtue of changing the mix from more home loans to a little bit of LAP. In LAP, you typically see a slightly high bounce rate, right? That's the second thing. And third is, as the absolute pool of delinquent customers go up, that those customers will anyways bounce. So the current bucket bounces are in control. And so overall, which is why even though the bounce rate has gone up, the overall delinquency is flat. In fact, the 1 plus numbers have actually gone down, because we've seen a lot of resolutions as well.
Okay, sure, sure. Got your point. Thank you so much. All the best.
Thank you, Sagar.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ms. Saloni Shah, an individual investor. Please go ahead, ma'am.
Hello, good afternoon, sir. Thank you for this opportunity. So I have a few questions. First one being, how much percentage of the housing book is towards the rural areas versus tier 1, tier 2, tier 3 cities?
So today, tier 1 cities, ma'am, contributes less than 30% of all the business that we do. Our large concentration is on tier 2 and beyond. And so you can say about, I won't say they are absolute rural, because we don't go into the villages, we go into the semi-urban pockets, and that would be about 70% of the business that we do.
Okay, sir. Okay. And my second question is, how is underwriting policy different? Like, how do we keep a check on the quality of these lendings in the rural areas?
So, you know, in every geography, when we look at our business, we have a specific policy, both in terms of the underwriting and the risk that we'll onboard, the ticket sizes, caps that we'll keep on the loan that we'll originate, the collateral policies, as you know, in every geography is different from the other geography. So when we start a geography, we do a very detailed review of the landscape. We also look at what the competitors are doing before we frame our policy. And we, of course, pay a lot of attention to the people that we hire in each of these geographies. You know, a combination of all of these things has really helped our business, you know, keep this kind of a quality of portfolio that you see.
Okay, sir. Okay. All right. That's it from my side. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you, Saloni.
The next question is from the line of Mr. Pranav Singh, an individual investor. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you for taking my question. We have touched on these points. Just wanted a little bit more information. So our borrowing cost in the standalone entity and also in housing finance seems to be higher by about 2%. So do we have kind of an expected timeline by which it would normalize?
Pranav, the housing finance cost would be definitely lower than the standalone. Here, the difference is about 2%, and we mentioned in one of the earlier queries, I replied that it's a lot to do with the NCD borrowings that we have done. With the banks now starting to come in, we would be having our cost reduced, and I said that this could be about reducing it to a, in a substantial way, would be about 2 to 3 quarters away.
Okay, sure. Thank you, sir. And another thing, sir, right now, home finance operating expenditure is about 6 to 7% of AUM, so which would be higher because we are undertaking expansion. So, for the housing finance piece, what would be the long-term range for operating expenditure, if you have something in mind?
So the long-term range in housing finance will be in the range of 3.5% to 3.75%. OpEx to income? The OpEx to income will be under 50%. So it'll be about 45% will be our long-term range. Yeah, at an OpEx to average asset ratio will be about 3.5%. That will be the range that we'd like to keep.
Great, great. So these things, and one small question I had. I read in a rating rationale that our CV disbursements after April 2022, they have been performing very well with average 1.2% gross stage three. So, what will be the proportion of the older portfolio before April 2022? And is there any difference in asset quality and interest rates across these two portfolios?
See, the interest rates of the new portfolio is much higher. They are at around 300 basis points higher than whatever is the old portfolio, which now contributes 50% of the overall. So 50% is old portfolio and 50% is new portfolio. So that's how it is.
Okay, and any about asset quality of the old portfolio, will there be substantial difference?
See, as you are aware, last year we ran into certain problems on control issues, basis which we have ourselves downgraded and kept few assets at a lower staging. Compared to that, the new assets, we don't have any issues, so that's why they are at 1.2%. Secondly, we have also tightened the way in which we underwrite and the processes around how we underwrite. So we feel like the new portfolio will be much more superior and will, over a period of time, when the old portfolio dies down, we will be, or runs down, we'll be in the one of the best in the industry in terms of our overall stage three.
And you yourself pointed out the CRISIL rationale, rating rationale, which mentioned about this 1.2%.
Yes. So, I mean, since it's already about 18 months in April 2022, so we should expect that maybe 1.5 years, 2 years, that is by end of FY25, this portfolio will all be gone, right? So we'll be with the new portfolio. Thank you. That is all. Thank you, and best of luck.
Thanks, Pranav. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mr. Rikesh Parikh from Rockstud Capital LLP. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, thanks for the opportunity. Sir, regarding CV business, we are seeing that the LTV has gone up to 78%. So anything to look into it?
No. See, if you look at it overall, if you go deeper geographies, there is a significant movement towards single axle trucks. And these trucks where there are a lot of asset value that has gone up, because the single axle trucks at a point of time, ICVs were replacing it, but today it has come back to single axles again. So that has increased the cost of these assets significantly. So that's the reason why it has gone up marginally. I believe that even at 78%, the LTVs are much more very reasonable, because the customer almost pays 25% on the overall cost.
Okay. Second is on our, can you just quantify the size of our ICICI Bank AUM And since a lot of 60+ day DPD is coming into our books as such, so what is the asset quality over there in terms of 60+ DPD as a percentage?
See, 250 crores roughly is the overall ICICI book, and we are maintaining around 93% stage one. So that's how the overall book is trending.
So in percentage is 60% plus moving over there.
1 minute. You want 60+ percentage?
Yeah.
60+ percentage again. Probably I'll come back to you offline on that separately.
Yeah, Rikesh, if you can separately call us up, maybe in the later half of the day, we'll respond to you.
Yeah. And just a last request. On stock exchanges, there is some compliance pending as such for the last few quarters. So anything you can just complete those compliance details as such, like something like details from compliance officer is to be pending or something like that?
No, see, I think the only compliance which was pending was in relation to the SDD, which we have responded to the stock exchanges maybe 3-4 days back. I think they will possibly review our response and then confirm that there is no non-compliance left.
Okay, that is the thing, because that is keeping us in the trade-to-trade segment for a long time. Thank you. That's it from my side.
Yeah.
Thanks, Rikesh.
Thank you. In the interest of time, that would be the last question. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Nikunj Jain from Orient Capital for closing comments. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, I would like to thank the management for taking the time out for this conference call today. And also thanks to all the participants. If you have any queries, please feel free to contact us. We are Orient Capital Investor Relations Advisors to Indostar Capital Finance Limited. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
On behalf of Indostar Capital Finance Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.
Thank you.